my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
All right, Brother Dan, for the message. Brother Dan got a special number, and then we'll preach for a while. Boy, we got a great God, haven't we? Amen. How great he is. Glory.
As before, they'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul, satisfy your soul, oh. only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall call you. Riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus, for only He can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
You ask me, I can tell you that. Because I've been at it for 48 years. I know. You can't take away a personal testimony, amen? He's still the satisfier of our souls. Well, lots of times on Mother's Day, sometimes preachers, we have a tendency to try to teach mothers what they ought to be. But I'm going to let you mothers rest, amen? I'm going to teach your young ones how they ought to be. You ladies like that? You mothers like that, okay? Well, that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to start off. I got several things I want to read. And first of all, we're just going to have a good time. Amen?
Amen.
I'll use a scripture in a few moments from Romans chapter 13. Several things I want to share as we work our way into the message today. This is kind of the way it goes with birthdays and ages. For example, little six-year-olds, they'll often say, "Mommy, I love you." Everybody except Timothy. Yeah, bless heart. My wife had a little accident the other day and said, go get Pawpaw. Pawpaw, come help me. I thought they were already going to school, and I'm sitting in there reading my Bible. He walks in, he says, "Pawpaw." He just kept playing with that dumb machine he had, you know. "Come on, your kid's got one of them too. You know what I'm talking about." That's all he said. I look around, the door's open, I hear Miss Benda hollering, "Help, help." That's a five-year-old for you, amen? But six-year-olds, oftentimes they say, "Mommy, I love you." 10-year-olds, mama say something and they say, "Whatever." "Oh yeah, you know about that, huh?" "Yeah, whatever." 16-year-old, or 16th birthday, I said, "My mother's annoying. Maybe she'll grow up someday." You get to be about 18, they say, "I can't wait to get away from here. I won't get away from this house." Come on, young folks. I warned you up front, amen? So there's more to come. Just stick around, okay? But when they get about 50 years of age, they begin to say, "I don't want to lose my mama." Then we get my age, they usually say things like this: I'd give up everything in life for my mom to be with me today. I know. Mine's gone. It's entitled, When You Thought I Wasn't Looking. Subtitle is, More is Caught Than Taught. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I immediately wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I learned then that little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who was sick, and I learned that we all have to help take care of each other. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give of your time and money to help people who had nothing, and I learned that those who have something should give to those who don't. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight, and I felt loved and safe. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of our house and everyone in it, and I learned we have to take care of what we're given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw how you handle your responsibilities, even when you didn't feel good, and I learned that I would have to be responsible when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked at you and wanted to say, thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. More is caught than taught, isn't it? By observation. I put this poem together for Mother's Day in 1995, 20 years ago. It's entitled, What's a Mother? When into the world comes forth another, it must come by way of a mother. Somewhere in a secluded corner, it may be in a castle, it may be in a teepee. Some mother-to-be goes down into the jaws of death, willing at any moment a mommy-to-be. Then at her side lies one in the tiniest of clothes, realizing now she must fulfill a responsibility she owes. Her days are now filled with stinky diapers and dirty faces, needing to be at once in a dozen different places. Just about the time she masters a routine, the little tot learns to crawl and invades the canteen. Now comes the bumps and scratches that are cured only with attention, that is accompanied by a kiss from a mother too young for a pension. Ah, but then comes the day for kindergarten enrollment, and the mother swells with excitement and relishes the moment. Now she'll enlarge the scrapbook and make room for surprises that the youngster will color on cards of various sizes. She then realizes she has become an information center for children needing answers about the opposite gender. A mother is the one who lays awake when children are out at night, seeking no rest from her daily toil until all her children are in her sight. A mother is our encouragement during the teen years, building our self-esteem that will dispel all fears. A mother's the one who prays for a mate for her child, trusting that while waiting, they would commit no guile. And then one day she's given the word that to be a grandmother is glad tidings to be heard. She's one not to be forsaken when she's growing old, because a child's love and respect must never grow old. So, a mother's to be remembered more than just once a year, because she's the one that lets us know everything is all right when she is near. And one day soon, God will allow her to walk on streets of gold in a city where she will never grow old. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 7. Just one verse to get us started. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So that's our thought for this morning. It's time to give honor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we approach your throne of grace with thankful hearts for all that you do for us. Lord, realizing that you chose motherhood. Lord, that's every person's entrance into this world is through mothers. Lord, it's a privilege to be able to have them. Lord, I'm thankful for all the mothers that are present here today. Lord, I realize that many of us, including myself, that our mothers have already gone on. But Lord, through personal faith in Jesus Christ, we look forward to being reunited once again someday, soon, in that wonderful place called heaven. Until then, I pray you'd use us to be a blessing, a help, and encouragement to every person that we have the privilege of crossing their paths. Lord, this morning we've assembled in this auditorium. I'm thankful for every person that's chosen to come and be a part of this service. I'm thankful for those who've come, some of them from a distance, Lord, to be with their mothers on this special Mother's Day. But I pray collectively that everything we say and do would be for the primary purpose of glorifying our Savior, Jesus Christ, for it's in His name that we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. It is time to give honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. Mothers are certainly worthy of our honor. A woman is the completer of man. And a mother is also completer of the home. I wouldn't be complete without a wife. Our home certainly wouldn't be complete without her. I guarantee you that. Where's Philip at? Amen? We'd be in desperate trouble, wouldn't we, son? We're almost in it anyway. Granny has to line us out pretty often, doesn't she? That's what my mother used to say. She's like, I'm going to line you boys out. I remember one time she called Larry, my brother, a couple of years older than me. I was 60 at the time. I guess he was 62. She said, you boys sit down. I'm going to talk to y'all. Can you imagine that? 60 years old, and your mama says, sit down, boys. That's the way she said it. Sit down, boys. I'm going to talk to you. And her way, she said, I'm going to line you boys out. I've heard that no telling how many times growing up in that home, and even up till she passed away. I'm going to line you boys out. Well, sometimes we need to be lined out. And I want to tell you, without a mother, wife around those homes, things would get in serious trouble very quickly. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. A helpmeet for him. Somebody that's fit for him. In other words, just the right thing. Just the right thing that he needs. You can't outsmart God. Amen. Brother Bill, he knew what you needed. He knew what I needed. He knew what you fellows needed. Come on, help me out a little bit. Don't sit there, amen, like you've been roosting on the bedpost at night, amen. Come on, your wife don't care if you're saying amen. We have to be honest sometimes with ourselves and realize how blessed we are. Now, here's God who created the earth, sun, moon, stars, trees, grass, rivers, fishes, animals, birds, but he had something more to give after that. After observing all those things and even observing Adam himself. In fact, God looked at, fellas, you ain't going to like this. He took one look at Adam and he said, I can do better than that. Amen. And he did. And he did. And made Eve. God looked at old Adam, taking care of that garden, and he said, it is not good that man should live alone. And he made just exactly what he needed to make him happy. Now, Jesus set an example for each of us by the way that he honored his mother. Mothers are to be honored. You read in Luke chapter 2, and I'll just tell you where these things are at. If you've read your Bible, you ought to know it anyway. And if you don't, you ought to read your Bible anyway. Amen? All right. Now, in Luke chapter 2, it tells a story of how that this certain time that Joseph and Mary, they travel a distance, come to worship. When they get ready to go back home, they traveled a distance, and the Bible says that they began to search for the Christ child. They couldn't find him among the kinsfolk. Now let me just pause and I'll preach a little bit right there. You can't always find the Lord through your relatives. Because just because you may be saved, just because you may be right with God, that doesn't mean everybody in your family is. In fact, they searched for him for 3 days and couldn't find him among the kinsfolk. So they go back, and here, and think about this. He's 12 years of age, but once they go back, they find him disputing with the lawyers, and that doesn't mean the kind that practice law. That means those like scribes, those who taught the Old Testament law and so forth. But anyway, then they leave with him, and the Bible says that he went and he was subject to his parents. Think about that. Young folks, you listen to me? 12 years of age, Jesus set an example of how we be under subjection to authority, how that we're to obey our parents and love and honor them. Not only that, but at age 30. Hello? At age 30. In the little village of Cana of Galilee, Jesus is just beginning his ministry at age 30. Mary walks up to him, says they don't have anything to drink. And he said, "Woman, mine hour is not yet come." Now notice he didn't say Holy Mary and all that kind of stuff. He said, "Woman, mine hour is not yet come." We know by studying the Bible what he meant, that it was not yet for him to be crucified. But think of what Mary did, his mother. She went to those servants, said, "Whatever he says, you do it." Because she knew he was going to obey her. And so he looked at those servants, he said, "Six water pots," said, "fill them full." At age 12, he was subject to his parents. At age 30, he honored his mother. When he was hanging on the cross, one of the last things he did is he looked at the Apostle John and he said, "Thy mother." Even at his death, he made sure that his mother, Mary, was going to be taken care of. So he sets us a tremendous example of how we should likewise honor our mothers. Thank God for them. Children are to obey their mothers. Now, when we was growing up, largest family of us, and I guess we was, old Larry and I, we was probably about as honored as anybody in the community. Boy, Mama used to whip us, and peach tree never produced peaches. In fact, most time didn't even have any leaves on it. It had a lot of limbs. She could chase us down and grab a peach limb and jerk it off and never break stride or run. Then we got to where we could outrun her. Then she began to make statements like this. She said, "You boys going to get it when your daddy gets home." I was the sneaky one of the bunch. I was always real sly. She'd threaten us like that sometimes in the middle of the afternoon. We get disorderly. She said, "You boys going to get it when your daddy gets home." Well, one day in particular, we was out in the back and we was sawing wood with a cross-cut saw. Now, boys, I don't have time to explain what that is. Y'all don't have the foggiest idea of what I'm talking about. Amen? Y'all grow up, everything been given to you, okay? You don't know what I'm talking about. So if you don't know, I'll explain to it later. It'll take me about a half a day so you understand what a cross-cut saw is and all that. Looked up, my dad was pulling in the driveway. And I remember what Mom had said. Said, "You boys going to get it when your daddy gets home." So I looked at old Larry and I said, "What's this?" I go up to the window. I bend over and I'm listening. My daddy comes in. I'm still listening. Finally, I look around to old Larry and I said, "She's done forgot. She's not going to tell him." That happened, brother, no telling how many times. She was too big for her to whip. She couldn't run us down, catch us, and whip us. So she just threatened us with daddy. But she never, ever carried those threats out. But if she told us to do something, she meant we better do it. Right. Honor your parents, for this is right in the Lord, Paul said. And if you want to live a good, long, and productive life, it starts by obeying and honoring your mother. Don't ever say, "Oh, the woman around the house." You recognize her as mother. You call her mother. You call her mom. Don't you ever say, "Well, the old woman of the house." That's disrespectful. Amen? I think I'm already getting attention, some of you guys. Amen? Show respect by honoring your mother and obeying your mother. And we're to provide for them, just like Jesus provided for his when he told John that particular day, "Behold thy mother." We're to be sure that you're taken care of. Now, my mother chose to go to the nursing home on her own. We tried to talk her out of it. My sister said, "I've got this big house. I'll take you in." And my sister had worked several years in a nursing home, and she was good. Knows how to take care of elderly people. Said, "Mama, come on. We got plenty of room. I'll take care of you." Now, this is old-time mamas. Many mothers are like this. She said, "I don't want to be a burden to you young'uns." She went on her own. But between my brother Larry and me, and my sister Linda, and my brother Lano, between the four of us, my mother saw one of us every single day that she's in a nursing home. We didn't forget her. We made sure that she was taken care of. And they did a good job of that. Good relation with them. Still have a good relation with the nursing home there. They took care. But we made sure that she was taken care of. Brother Doyle, I remember the day when I went up and I took her some old buffalo ribs. Amen? She loved fish. And boy, I cooked a bunch of those big old buffalo ribs. Now, we're talking about fish. We're not talking about animals, okay? Took her a big mess of those buffalo ribs. And boy, you should have seen my mama when she took in. I mean, mother, when she put those false ivories into that, she said, "Oh, son, that's good." I remember she said, "Boy, you salted them just right." I said, "Well, Mama, that's not the first fish I ever cooked, amen." But I'd always take her something. And then she got to where she had these three friends. I got to where when I take something, I better take enough for those other friends to sit around a table. And you know, in those nursing homes, they have their spot, and you better not get their spot. Isn't that right, sister? You better not get their spot. Because, I mean, even elderly folk can fuss, amen. And sometimes they do a little more than that, they fight, amen. So you have to be careful about things like that. But anyway, honor your mother, obey your mother, and provide for her. Be sure that she's taken care of. See, Paul was very clear when he said, requite your parents. You ever heard that expression? They're paying for their learning. That's an old expression. Paying for their raising. I often hear it said, paying for their raising. Well, the Bible's clear about that. Of course, they had when parents would say that or somebody, they had something else in mind when they say paying for your raising. But the truth of the matter is, young folks, we're to pay for our raising. Paul said we're to requite our parents. We're to repay them for raising us, taking care of us, doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. There comes a time when we ought to return the favor. Be sure that they're provided for. Number four and last of all, everybody got your seatbelts on? All you young folks got your seatbelts on? Don't cause your mother undue grief. Don't cause your mother undue grief. You know, we talk about the father of the prodigal son. We talk about that often, don't we? The prodigal son. But you ever thought about it? He had a mother too? And think about all the grief that prodigals cause their parents, especially their mothers sometimes. I'm back in the book of Genesis 26. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture here. It says, "And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beer, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite." Now notice this. "Which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah." Esau was a grief to his parents as long as he lived. Young folks, live your life respectable. Honor your mother. Obey your mother. And don't cause your mother undue grief. Somebody say amen. Amen. Many mothers lie awake at night grieving over children who are out of the will of God. Not living like God's folk, Christian folk ought to live. I apologized to my mom several years before she passed away. You know, when you get up 50, 60 years of age like I was in those days, you finally get a little bit of common sense and wisdom. You have the opportunity to reflect back a little bit. And I went one day and I sat down with my mama. And I said, "Mama, I want to apologize to you for something." And she said, "Well, what's that, son?" I said, "I've just been thinking." I said, "I remember when Larry and I were teenagers. And then we got out of high school. We had our own job, had our own vehicles. Both of us still single, not married. I remember how we used to run the roads at night. We'd come in 11:30, 12 o'clock. Now, I'm not going to tell you about the night I came in at 1 o'clock. My daddy was sitting on the pump house waiting on me at the bell. No, we don't want to go there. But I said, "Mom, I can remember when I'd come in the house, I'd sneak in. I called it sneaking in. I thought I was sneaking in, hoping everybody in the house would be asleep. Brother Tommy, I'd crawl in the bed. Just about time I'd get in bed, I'd hear my mama roll over." Now, I didn't think a whole lot about it then. But I got older, it finally dawned on me. My mother was not about to go to sleep till all of her children were in. Remember a few weeks ago I read that little story, are all the children in? I wonder how many mothers went to bed last night wondering where their children were. Teenagers out roaming the streets and so forth, causing a hard-working mother to grieve because her children were out roaming the streets somewhere when it should have been at the house. Don't cause your mothers undue grief. Oftentimes, mothers, when they have rebellious children and children out of the will of God and children who say they're saved but live as if they're not saved, they often feel as if it's their fault when children have gone astray. But that may not always be the case. That may not always be the case. Mothers and fathers may give all they can and rear their children in fundamental Bible preaching churches just like this. But sometimes children go astray and I've figured out who's helping them out. See, we have some help with these kids. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." There's a person that's ready to devour your children, to steal your children, take your children away from you, and he's got a lot of different names. Satan, I call him Slewfoot. Devil, he got a lot of different names in the Bible, but I'm telling you, he's after your children. He's after all of our children. He's after all of our grandchildren, ready to devour them. He wasn't afraid to attack the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes us think he's afraid to attack our children? As soon as he was born, what did Herod do? When he got word, he sent out and had all the children, not just the boys, all the children put to death, 2 years old and back to birth. Thinking he was going to devour the Christ child. Satan took him once upon a mountain. He said, "If thou really be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Angels will take care of you." What was behind all of that? His purpose was to devour the Christ child. One day, Governor Pilate gave him over into the hands of the Roman soldiers. And they crucified him. Satan was behind all of that. The purpose was to devour the Christ child. They crucified him. Put him in a tomb. But thank God he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Sometimes we give all we have, all we know to do, in rearing our children, trying to turn our children out right, but somewhere along the way, they turn out wrong. And I think I've figured out who the devourer is. It's none other than Satan and the devil himself. Walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Everybody okay? Everybody still awake? Amen. Walk about as a roaring lion. Now, Justin, I did a little bit of research on that once. A roaring lion. A young lion is pretty vicious. But there comes a time after so many birthdays, that old lion gets kind of like me. He don't move as fast as he used to. So when they get ready to feed and get their prey, that big old grandpa, Methuselah lion, he'll hide in the bushes somewhere when a nice little deer runs along or some other kind of animal. That old grandpa lion, he'll roar real big because he can't run. All he can do is just kind of low bass voice. He just roar real big. But what that little deer doesn't know when he takes off running, just down the road a little bit farther, there's some younger lions ready to pounce on him. Now think about that. When Peter wrote that down, he said, the devil, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now that word walking kind of makes me a little bit nervous. That means he's active. That means he's on the move. That means he may even be here this morning. Have you ever noticed he comes to church on a regular basis? Satan's more attentive. He's more active in church than the average Baptist is. He shows up every service. Amen. Some of you are not going to be back tonight. Some of you are not going to be back Wednesday night. But I guarantee you, old Slewfoot's going to be here every service. He shows up all the time. Walketh about. He may be here. He's probably here right now. While I'm preaching, He's probably walking up and down these aisles and he's checking every person out in here. He's checking your pulse. He's probably telling some of you young folks, don't pay attention to what that preacher's got to say. You're probably saying, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do what I want to. And you probably will. Just go ahead and cause your mama grief. Amen?
Right.
Everybody okay?
Amen.
Go ahead and cause your parents grief. Just go ahead and be like old Esau and bring grief to your parents. Do your own thing. But always remember this, payday someday.
Right.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God doesn't always settle his accounts on Mother's Day. God doesn't always settle his accounts on May the 10th. Is that what the day is? Anyway, but there always comes a day. There always comes a day of settlement. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more fun in sowing than there is in the reaping. But that's an immutable, unchangeable law. Herod had that one goal, engineered by Satan. That was to devour the Christ child. Many children have become an embarrassment to their mothers, caused them undue grief. Young people, be something that your mother can be proud of. Amen. Don't cause her grief. Don't do the things that make her want to stay up all night and lose sleep. Don't be ashamed of your mother. Don't be an embarrassment to her. If you don't want to live for God and honor your mother, I say shame on you. Shame on you. You go back to the law of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's about chapter 21, somewhere along there. When there was a rebellious child, and when the parents corrected that child, if he refused to honor that correction, they'd take him before the powers that be, and guess what they do? They just stone him to death. You better thank God you're living under grace, young folks. Thank God for his grace. We're not going to stone you to death. I'm probably speaking to young folks now. You need a good spanking. Hello. Hey, I don't play around. I don't have much longer to go. You say, what do people think about you? At my age, I don't really care. I'm not going to be around here much longer. But I figured out what the problems are. Oh, Slewfoot himself. He's out to devour this generation. We got a generation that won't work. They won't study. They'll never test the tape, but they know all about the social media. They know all about those things, but they're forgetting all the other things. Mom says, why don't you clean up your room? I will. A week later, it's twice as bad as it was when she first asked you. Somebody need to go home and clean up your room. Help your mama out. Some of you young ladies ought to go home and wash the dishes. I'm going to sit around and watch mama wash the dishes, grandma wash the dishes. Bless God, get her to wash the dishes yourself. I told a fellow the other day, two or three guys, young guys I was talking about, I said, when you marry, I said, you're not going to be marrying a cook because they don't know how to cook. But I said, be sure they know how to use a microwave because you're going to be eating frozen dinners the rest of your life. Amen. When you ought to be learning all those things, all they want to do is sit around and text all the time. Get your iPhone out, iPad out, then go to IHOP and eat, amen? And all those other hops. Lay out all night, come home to a grieving mother that they brought undue stress upon. I hope every mother listening to me is saved. Know for sure that you're saved. See, it's one thing to be saved, but it's something else to know it. That's the best part of it, is knowing you're saved. Knowing you're saved. Children are entitled to a Christian mother. But having said that, really brings me what I really wanted to say. Boys and girls, sons, daughters, your Christian mother deserves a Christian son and a Christian daughter. I often say, Judd, I was up in your part Friday, had Denny Langston's mother-in-law. I had her funeral up at Hardy this week. I told them in closing what I often tell folks here. One of these days, we're going to be out of here. We're going to leave behind a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of heartaches. We're going to leave a lot, some of us leave behind a whole lot of unpaid bills. We're going to leave away real estate. We're going to leave behind personal property. We're going to leave behind sorrows, leave behind sicknesses. But there's one thing, and only one thing, that we can take to heaven with us. And that's our children. Right. And that's our children. Our families. We can take them with us. But listen to me, children. You don't have to accept the ride. Salvation is non-transferable. Right. You can be blessed with a godly mother and still die and go to hell. Because her faith in Jesus Christ cannot be transferred to you. Salvation is a personal matter between you and Jesus Christ alone. There has to come a time when you choose, young folks, sons and daughters, to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and put your personal faith in Him. Faith is non-transferable. I hope that every mother's saved. I hope that every son is saved. I hope that every daughter's saved. Every grandchild is saved. One day, we can all leave all the cares and heartaches behind, and we can go together as families and be reunited in that place called heaven, and it's all because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together very quietly.